Friends with brews.
That was loud.
That was loud. Ooh, whoa. Yeesh. So, heard any good balloon jokes lately?
No, but who are you? You're not John Chidji.
I'm ChatGPT for all you know.
You're ChatGPT Chidji?
I could be ChatGPT for all you know. Let's pretend that I'm Peter.
Let's do something amazing. This will take some effort on your part. Let's not talk about ChatGPT at all this episode.
Okay.
You got to admit, you've talked nonstop about ChatGPT for the last month. Nonstop, just all the time.
Not even going to mention it.
But you have. Just say, yes, I have. That's not mentioning it. Just admit that you have.
I did once. I did once, but you've mentioned it many more times than I have right now.
What I said was you have talked about it nonstop for a month. I didn't say today, this conversation. I said you have talked about it nonstop for a month. Tell me I'm wrong.
But I'm being respectful. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm being respectful and not talking about it now.
I'm not. Just answer the yes, you did in the past, right? That's a yes or no answer.
I said yes. I already said that.
No, you didn't. Every time I asked it, you said, I'm not talking about it now. I have a
recording. Nope, I have a recording of it.
So do I, and I'd be the one to edit it.
Well, then go and play it back right now. Yeah, except you're going to edit it out. I have the original.
Mm-hmm. I won't. If you actually said that, which you didn't, I won't edit it out.
So who are you?
I'm the guy who's always been here.
And does that mean that our listener knows who you are?
I don't know. Do I care? All right. Tell them who I am.
Well, I'm Peter. You're Scott. Neither of us is that AI chatbot.
That's right. The one we won't name.
And we have beers.
And coffee. I have a coffee as well.
Oh, you have coffee. We have brews. We have brews. Yes.
I want to talk about my coffee for just a second.
Let's talk about your coffee.
This is Back Porch Coffee Roasters again.
Ooh.
This is Costa Rica, Santa Maria de Dota.
Well, okay. Do we get to see a picture or hear you open it or anything? Or
it's a coffee. Peter, I brewed it and put it in a coffee cup.
You denied our dear listener the sound of the pour and the grind and the stir.
Have we ever done that on this podcast with coffee? No, we never have.
Well, then why not?
Because
sounds to me like you're biased and you're not giving them the full auditory love that we could give them.
Do you want me to get all the clips of every time you've had coffee on this podcast with you not doing any of those same things?
I've definitely ground coffee beans on the podcast.
Not that the listener could hear, only that I could hear.
Fine. Once again, I'm being censored. So how is your coffee?
No, because your grinder and your mic have like an entire floor of a building in between them.
They do. And it's a big floor.
The coffee's pretty good.
Talk to me. What are you detecting? Notes? Hints?
I don't know.
Would you call it sour? Would you call it floral? Acidic? Bitter?
It's definitely not smooth. Floral. It is slightly bitter, and I'm not sure why.
Is it? What's the roast? Dark? Medium?
This one I think is more of a medium roast. Let me take a look medium at what roast. They claim. They say, cupping notes, clean orange citrus, milk chocolate, and winey. This is a very winey coffee.
We deal with whiny people all the time, so I don't want to deal with whiny coffee.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. How are you rating this? Is this a thumbs up?
Yeah, it's a thumbs up. It's, for some reason, like I said, it is a little bit bitter, and I don't know if it's just because it's getting too cold, if it's how I ground it and or brewed it. Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty good. I have a feeling that I need a little practice of this one to get it nice and smooth. If this thing came out of an AeroPress, it would probably be amazing.
Okay. I'm with you. Well, I am, since it's 7 o'clock my time, I'm not drinking a coffee tonight. And so I went down into the beer cellar to find a low alcohol beer, because I have like an entire drawer of my refrigerator dedicated to high alcohol beers. And by that, I mean like 8% or more.
You have drawers of beer?
Some of them have been there for more than a year because I've been taking my time weeding my way through them. But they're so high alcohol. I really, you know, I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I need to have a friend over to drink them. So because I can't finish, you know, one bottle on my own. It took me over 2 hours to drink a Founders Ultimate Oktoberfest on Saturday. And even at that time, I still felt like wiped out at the end of it. So tonight, I'm going with a relatively low alcohol Harpoon Dunkin' Blueberry Matcha IPA. So this, as the name implies, is a collaboration between Harpoon Breweries and Dunkin' Donuts. Well, now Dunkin'. They're not just Dunkin' Donuts anymore. But yeah, so this is a blueberry green tea matcha IPA. I've had these before.
I don't know what to think of that, Peter. I'm not going to lie here.
Well, I will tell you what to think of it. I'll tell you what I think
you.
Of it.
I appreciate you helping me out that way, Peter.
All right. I have now popped the can. I have poured it. Here it is. Cheers. Mm-hmm.
Cheers, my friend. I see that. With beer. You're making me thirsty. Cheers with beer. Oh, it's a nice color. I like the color.
This is one of the few IPAs that I can actually say tastes pretty good.
I will pay you to ship me some of that.
Do you get Harpoon out there out west?
I don't know. I need to find out if there's any places I hear that carry it. I have never seen it.
It's a seasonal thing. They started a few years ago, I think, doing a combo. I think it was around Halloween time or, you know, fall. And they did a pumpkin, you know, kind of thing. And then they do a midnight porter, you know, I think a chocolate stout, you know, all supposedly using the same ingredients that Dunkin' uses in their donuts. So two home teams, you know, collaboration. It's a beer. This is one of the few times I will probably give a thumbs up rating to an IPA.
Okay. Excellent. Thumbs up. It is a beer.
It is a beer. And I don't have to be desperate.
I would like to try that because I can't imagine. I don't know what blueberry and matcha taste like together. I can't imagine that.
Tastes like this.
I really like the fact that that you can get a Harpoon Dunkin' Dozen. Dunkin' Dozen.
Dunkin' Dozen. Yes.
Maybe I should be dozen.
Yeah, it's a dozen of three of each of four different flavors. And that was the one that I have. So you found it online, the Dunkin' Dozen. It comes with Dunkin' Midnight, which is their, is that the coffee porter, I think? Their blueberry matcha IPA, the maple cream, which is also pretty good. And the Dunkin' Pumpkin. So that was their, you know, their pumpkin thing. Because everyone around fall does a pumpkin spice. Pumpkin
yeah, yeah, like yeah. That.
Yep. So anyway, yeah, I like it. It's smooth. Unlike most IPAs, it's not over hopped and super bitter. So I like that. Oddly enough, recent discovery or realization, I never even put this together. I don't like bitter beers. I don't like bitter liquors. I do like bitter coffee.
Okay. I was about to make a
that's all
bitter lovers joke in there somewhere.
I was going to say something about bitter women. Yeah, I knew that was coming.
By the way, I want to make it clear. I am not one of those guys that always characterizes the women as the crazy. I don't like
that. Oh, yeah.
That.
Oh, no. I've seen your bookmarks. I know that you're on reddit.com/r/redpill every day. Yep.
4chan. Yeah, yeah.
4chan, 8chan, 16chan.
Okay, so my beer.
Oh, you've got a beer and coffee.
Yeah. My beer also has berries.
I do not want to see your beer berries, Scott.
Okay, this is an ex novo Marionberry, and not Marionberry the way the berry is, but they spelled it Marryin berries because this is Marionberry and raspberry.
So they married raspberry.
They married the berries
and Marionberry.
And I tell you, this is a sour, sour beer, and I like it.
And is it technically a sour, like officially a sour, or is it just
Well, you tell me. It's a ghost style ale, G-O-S-E.
That sounds like a sour.
Is that a sour? Yeah. Okay.
That sounds like
a sour. Yeah, it's supposed to be a sour. You can tell that it's definitely supposed to be sour, and it's good. And I will show you the color of this, Peter, as soon as I am done pouring it. They heard the pop. They didn't get the pour. Can you see the color?
Ooh, that looks like berries.
Yeah, it is red.
That's a Valentine's Day berries kind of thing.
I think so. I'm going to go tell my wife that right now. Here's your gift.
There you go.
I'm sure she'll be pleased.
Cool.
So yeah, this is me. And I also like this because it's not a lot of alcohol. What percentage? 5.3, which isn't bad. You know, it's better than what you were drinking in Porto, wherever you were, Costa Rica.
Well, but it's higher. If higher is better, then sure, yes. This is 6.6% alcohol. Surprisingly enough, it's pretty strong for a wimpy fruity IPA beer.
Well, it's pretty strong for a guy who just got back from drinking 4.0s nonstop.
Correct. Yes, I'm with you on that. So I want to mention something we don't usually talk about on this podcast.
Wait, you're skipping right over the show notes, huh?
Oh, we have show notes?
Yeah, yeah. I sent you a link in the calendar invite.
Oh, I didn't see that link. I will open it now. I am now looking at it. You didn't see the fact that I accepted the invite. I didn't see the show notes in the invite.
Yeah, I never got a notification. Yeah, it's reasonable.
Well, whatever. All right.
Look at my comment. Look at my comments.
I will read this out. I will read this out. Ex Novo. This is Scott's comment on the Ex Novo Marion Berries beer that he's drinking.
And by the way, that link is not to the actual Ex Novo site, because could I find a page that had this beer or any of their beers on it? No, I could not.
So Scott's comments, and I quote, Ex Novo has, all caps, the best website in the universe for finding their fucking beers. Mark!
How many of these do I need? It's a good thing for a copy and paste.
Indeed. You're going to need a lot of copies and a lot of paste. That was
that was heartfelt.
An emotional. That was a heartfelt, emotional comment. Did you leave them feedback on their non-existent website so that they know how bad their website is?
No, but I am going to contact them and say, guys, do you want people to find and care about your beers or not?
Well, there you go.
Okay. So anyway, I took the liberty of putting a bullet point in here about your vacation, and it is totally up to you as to whether that is a topic that you would like to address.
Of course.
Okay. Tell us what happened to you, Peter.
I went to Costa Rica for a month.
Yep.
It was great.
And you called on the phone and it sounded horrible, so I decided never to talk to you again until you came back to Boston.
Never again until. Those don't work. But anyway, I'll take it.
You noticed that there was a John Chigi episode. Did you notice that?
I have it downloaded, but I haven't played it yet.
Okay, but you knew.
You told me right out back. You're like, oh, okay, jerk. I'm going to replace you. I think those were your exact words.
They probably were, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just like,
I'm not going to go look for that one. At this point, I'm on the hook for looking for too many clips from the past.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, huh, okay, great. Thanks. That's how it is. I'm staying in Costa Rica. So until you're ready to record again. So that's what I did. Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that when?
That was it. I was just like, okay, fine. I have to come back to record a podcast. Then that's what'll bring me back.
Okay, but if memory serves, you hoteled it up first.
Yes, let's back it up a little bit.
Beep, beep.
I want to definitely throw in a plug here for anywhere.com. Know that they are not a sponsor of the podcast. I just thought too, I have my, thank you, Vic. I have my shush button, which I just used.
Yep.
It's good for coughs. It's good for sneezes. It's also good for belches. And I was just thinking we should probably record a belch sound, and you can use that for, you know, like swears as well.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
Anyway, so anywhere.com. Excellent. Excellent service. I told them, you know, what I wanted to do, and they set me up with a great 2-week itinerary. So I landed in San Jose, and right off the bat, there was a little bit of a mix-up. Not sure if it was my fault or if it was theirs, but I flew down on Spirit, and they thought I was flying Air Canada. And I arrived in the afternoon around 1:30, and they thought I was supposed to be there at around 11:30. So that was a little concerning.
Peter, remind me again which country it was that you were headed for your vacation?
That was Costa Rica, yeah.
And, okay, does it start with a C?
Costa.
But it doesn't go C-A. It's not, okay.
Well, Costa Rica. There are two, there are A's in there. There are two A's in the name. So Costa Rica.
You were headed for Costa Canada, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But within like 15 minutes of me messaging my contact, they had a driver there. Pick me up. No problem. Drove me like 3 hours in a tour bus van. When I say tour bus, it's like, you know, a small bus, large van kind of thing. Private ride, drive for 3 hours across country through windy roads. It was a little rainy and very foggy, and I was in the back seat. And I get car sick easily, so it was not a great, that was not awesome, especially after being on a plane for a few hours. But I arrived, I landed in the Arenal region in La Fortuna near a volcano, and I was in the mountains, and I was in Costa Rica, and it was official. I had my own private bungalow, and it was great. I loved it.
Wait, you had a private bungalow in a hotel? This was considered a hotel, right?
hotels there, many hotels are separate. Like each unit is a building.
Oh, nice.
So my room in Bunny Rabbit Ears was a building. So you open up the door, you know, it's like big sliding glass, double doors. You open it up. There's two twin beds there, bathroom, TV, closet. That was it. So I was like, this is great. This is great. I'll be here for a few days. This is wonderful. I went zip lining. I went for a couple of runs. I went on a sloth tour and I saw sloths. I went on a coffee and chocolate tour. Had a lot of refresher since the coffee shop days, but also I learned a couple of new things. That was cool.
So which tasted better, the sloths or the chocolate and coffee?
Absolutely the sloths. Because when you get a good ripe sloth with a nice green coating of algae on the outside, no chocolate can compare to that.
And I suppose they move slow enough that they all have green coatings of algae.
Oh, they're easy to catch. They move about as fast as a coffee bean. You know, so you just like grab them there. I have videos of some sloths, though. It was very funny because he was moving pretty quickly. I mean, for a sloth, right? And he was moving along and he was, you know, like moving like about twice the speed that they normally do. And he slipped and he fell, but he caught himself and then slowed way down.
He learned his lesson. Again. This is why they're slow. This is why they're slow.
It was hilarious because, you know, watching him and he's just like, you know, you just imagine him saying like, okay, I'm done showing off now. I'm just going to dial it back a notch.
Never do that again.
Exactly. So that was the first few days. And then I hopped on a bus. And the next thing I knew, I was in Tamarindo, which is one of the most touristy beach resort towns. It was great, super hot, like on average 89, 90 degrees in the afternoons. Definitely have to like find shade or be in the water there every day. Found a great little coffee shop where I had for my first time coffee flavored kombucha, and it was really good.
We've talked about kombucha before, and I can't remember if you said you have had it before.
I used to make my own.
Oh, well, that's embarrassing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I when making coffee was too time consuming, mm-hmm. I switched to kombucha for a while. But it's been a few years since I've done either. So hang out in Tamarindo. It was nice. I was out one night just wandering around in the city, and I passed a real estate agency, as I am wont to do. And for the same price as my place here in Boston, I could get a 5,000 square foot five bed, five bath with a 1,200 square foot outdoor yoga studio place for the same price as my two bed, two bathroom place in Massachusetts.
I thought you were going to tell me for the same price as the building you're standing in right now, you could buy Costa Rica.
No, but I could buy a large chunk of Costa Rica.
That would be awesome, dude.
For the same price as my kitchen remodeling was supposed to cost, I could buy a one unit bungalow within like a stone's throw of the beach.
Supposed to cost. Obviously it didn't.
I never actually did the kitchen. I did not kitchen remodel. Because I would rather spend that money on a bungalow in Costa Rica.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, after Tamarindo, I went back into the mountains to Monteverde. I had an absolutely amazing tour of the national park in their cloud forest. That was amazing. It was great. I got lots of pictures, videos of hummingbirds. I heard howler monkeys. I saw all kinds. The guide that I had was amazing. He was like the equivalent of multiple PhDs. Anything you wanted to talk about, naturalist, botanist, plants, animals, you know, geology, geography, everything. This guy just knew it all. And I was like, I tested him with a couple of things that I knew. And like, right off the bat, immediately, you know, he's like coming right back to me with volumes of information. I was like, this guy's legit. So very happy. And most of the time when I was out there, when I was on tours, like when I went ziplining, it was like a, you know, a large pickup full of people all going up to the top and zoom, zipping on down. When I went on the chocolate tour, I booked it myself. There were six of us or five or six of us on the tour. This cloud forest tour was just me. So I had a private guide all morning. He shows up at the hotel, picks me up.
Wait, this was the PhD guy?
Yeah.
How does he make money when one Peter Nicolaitis shows up?
You know, you apparently the dollar goes a lot further down there. I mean, I don't know exactly what he. So that's the thing is, I booked through anywhere.com, so they took care of a lot of the, you know, like all the reservations. So anything they did, yeah, I didn't know exactly how much that cost.
Right.
So I'm not sure exactly how much he paid, but I gave him like a $20 tip on top of it, though, because, you know, he was worth it. It was amazing. As we were driving there on the way over, too, you know, he noticed another tour guide had stopped because, like, there are people, whenever you drive by and you see people looking up, there's probably birds or monkeys or sloths or something. So he stops and he asked the other, you know, the other guide who was there with the tripod. Or could be, yeah, it could be balloons. What they were seeing, and they saw some toucans. And I found out that there's a type of toucan that doesn't actually have a giant beak, but it's still considered a toucan. So I saw one of those. Yeah. And then I got loads of hummingbird videos. I'll share some of those with you later. And then, you know, we spent like hours walking around in the cloud forest. That was great. Came back. And then that day I went out for another run in the area, tried out a couple of different places. And this is a mountainous town. Very steep. It's like San Francisco steep on steroids, but the roads are only one lane wide.
Are they paved?
Sometimes.
Well, I guess I'm just trying to figure out what kind of surface you're running on here.
When I went for a run, it was a mix. So when there were sidewalks, I would run on the pavement road, the paved roads. But I ran on dirt roads that were reminiscent of the quality of those in Vermont, which is to say terrible, but super steep, like super duper steep. So, you know, I got in some hill climbing work there, and that was a lot of fun. From there, I went on to another beach town, Manuel Antonio, had another national park tour. Lots of fun. Saw butterflies. That was great. Saw a bunch of other, you know, wildlife. Saw some of the same stuff, but this was more like rainforest territory rather than cloud forest territory. So, you know, not a ton of overlap. And this was a beach town, and this is where I went parasailing for the first time. That was a lot of fun.
I saw a very short video of that.
So much fun.
That did look pretty cool.
So much fun. Yeah, so for like $40, they would throw a DJI drone up in the air with me. And it, you know, you just stand there, the boat starts going out, you take about 5-10 steps, and the next thing you know, you're flying. And that's it. And then, you know, 400 feet up over the ground. And I was double checking it. I had my Apple Watch, so I was like, how high am I? You know, what's my elevation? So, yeah, so that was a lot of fun. It was like a 20-minute ride or so. And then that pretty much wrapped up the first 2 weeks. And then I went to Hakko, which is apparently as of about, you know, 15, up to about 15 years ago, it was just a sleepy little surfing community. And now I guess it's like the second most popular beach town in Costa Rica.
Not so sleepy.
So but the place I got was a few miles out of town. And it was okay. It was a good location if you have a car. I did not have a car. The reason I did not have a car is my driver's license expired while I was on the road, and they wouldn't want to rent me a car with an expired driver's license. So I got really good at calling private drivers and Ubers.
This is what Adam was making fun of you for.
Yes.
When he was referring to people who go on vacation without making sure that their driver's license is going to not expire.
Bingo.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep. You know, so I was a little bit landlocked, but I like to walk a lot, like to run a lot. So I was get out on foot. And one of the things I noticed was half a mile from my place was a yoga studio. So I went there a few times. That was fun. They do like retreats, Costa Rica yoga retreats, where they'll do like week long, you know, or month long 200-hour certifications and stuff.
What kind of yoga are they doing there?
Most of the dynamic stuff, you know, hatha, flow, vinyasa kind of stuff. Power. But I walked in and I was like, this is great. Beautiful outdoor studio. It's you know, so much of the stuff, the buildings down there are made for outdoors all the time. Like in San Jose, you'll find places that, yes, they have bars. They put down bars at night, like not drinking bars, but steel bars.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But there's always airflow. There aren't like windows shutting, you know, shut through. Like so there was a place that was like a storefront set back about 20 feet back from the road. So the bars come down, but you can see inside it's all open, like, you know, set back in it's all exposed, effectively outdoors all the time. And this yoga studio was the same way. It's like wide open with a roof. That was really cool.
So lots of bugs and stuff.
That bugs weren't really that bad. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was that. So Hakko was, it was a lot of fun. I also went paragliding there for the first time and ziplining again. That was fun. Paragliding was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that one was even funnier. They have a big field, which I'm guessing is probably around a 1/2 mile to 1 mile long. And they have a pickup truck. And you strap on your paragliding harness and everything, and they strap you onto the back of a pickup truck. And you start going and you run, and after about 10, 12 steps, next thing you know, you're flying. But yeah.
You're either flying or you're getting dragged
or
behind a
you're
pickup.
getting dragged behind a pickup truck. And I was going to say, that was the first time I ever got dragged behind a pickup truck. But that is,
Oh my God.
it is an experience because, you're flying before you know it. It happens very quickly.
Yeah.
But, just like going higher and higher and higher and higher. And the way that it's done, you're in tandem. So there's the pilot is behind you. So you just hang there. But the instant when he pulls the ripcord, where it just disconnects the cable, that's like the scariest moment. And it's like, boom. And all of a sudden, you're like banking off. But these guys were amazing. Like, still like took me into a jungle and, like dodging in between the trees and things. It was insane.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
It was absolutely amazing.
I imagine these guys aren't taking too many risks with the tourists, but.
I don't think so. I never felt like they were. Other than the fact that I'm up in a paragliding, thing, I
Right.
didn't.
Yeah. Things can still happen, but.
Right. But I saw one of the guys, and I can't really describe this very well. It's easier to show, but like one of the guys before we got there, because these guys are just doing like tours all day. They go up, they come down, they go up, they come down. I saw one guy come in for a landing. And normally, you would imagine that, you come down just like a straight and then you pull down and you touch down. So one guy
Right.
came down in and he banks in at about a 45-degree angle,
So he's like
spinning
lying on his
around
side.
like he's lying on his side as he arcs around in a corner, like scraping the grass, and then comes up and lands.
Oh,
He
that's
was by
cool.
himself. He didn't do that with a passenger.
Right.
But I'm like, just like that's gutsy, like that's you could easily face plant if you miscalculate something like that.
Yeah, you could, and I'm sure he has a few times, but
Probably.
I'm sure that guy going up all day, every day of his life, he's got some pretty
You
stellar
learn.
control.
Exactly. So it was amazing. So paragliding absolutely was great.
How come I didn't hear about any of this?
Because I was busy. I'm gonna give that though the overall that tour was like a 4 star out of 5. And the reason is they upsold me on video as well, but the video was not worth it. Because they use this like 360 degree type video camera thing, which just takes really bad video. I'll send you a sample, but I won't bother like including it in the
Is
show
it
notes.
like extreme wide view and you can't really see anything?
Extreme wide fisheye lens kind of thing going on. And the angle makes it look like I have my legs spread completely wide apart like the whole time. I was like, that's not how I was sitting. I don't, anyway.
Peter doesn't want to be caught on video with his legs
Oh
spread
my
wide.
God. I don't like that. Yeah, hanging out in midair. But then also, I went on a couple of catamaran tours. I went snorkeling where I had an encounter with a sea urchin.
Ooh.
It hurt.
Oh, you mean you actually encountered it? You didn't just see it.
Oh, there was physical contact. Oh,
Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
yeah. I didn't really see it until it was too late because I was floating.
No, don't sit on the sea urchin.
Well, no, the current was actually, like drifting me backwards, and I couldn't really tell. And all of a sudden, I feel this sharp pain in my heel, and I was like, "Ow!" And I reached up, I bent my knee, and I reached down with my hand to touch it, and stuck the other end of the stinger or spine in my finger. Which is great. So then I was in pain for in two places from the same stupid sea urchin, which this was not called for. Like I don't eat uni, I don't eat the sea. Like I don't get. I never. I don't know why. I don't. It was uncalled for, unprovoked.
I sent you that video of the goose fighting the cows and winning. Sounds to me like the sea urchin fought the Peter Nicolaitis who won.
The sea urchin did have me on the defensive and retreating. Yes. Anyway, so then I worked, you know, remotely for, you know, a few days. And then I decided, okay, let's take a couple more days. And went to San Jose and just to see the capital city. Got in a couple of good runs there, too. Did a few, you know, a couple little 5Ks. That was fun. And then before you know it, it was time to come home. And here I am.
That sounds absolutely amazing. That sounds way better than what I knew you were doing.
Oh, I wanted to save the best for the cast.
Did you tell Adam any of this stuff?
A little of those things, yes.
Did you guys record yet?
No. This is coming. This is, you got the exclusive, man.
But it sounded like you recorded at least one while you were down there still.
Wait, weren't you on that one?
No. We recorded one, but you were also talking to him and you were like, here's the show notes or whatever it was. Here's the topics. And then I said, hey, I don't want to hear your stupid phone anymore. And you said, boy, are you making an assumption? So I thought that meant that you guys were planning blurring the lines.
Stupid phone again. Well, I have a 3 p.m. on January 20th. Did we actually record that one?
I think you did. You were certainly planning it.
Well, we didn't cancel it, so there you go. I don't remember.
Were you there when you recorded the podcast of that?
I may not have been. I don't know.
All that 4% beer? Yeah, but all that 4%. That's perfect for blurring the lines.
I know, blurring the memory. But coming back today, though, so as you know, I had that knee injury, which is feeling a lot better. I've been proactively wearing my knee brace, which is helping a lot. So that's great. But I, you know, wasn't getting in a lot of regular runs because sometimes I just didn't wake up early enough. And if you wait too long, you know, it's like 90 degrees and it's really hot to run when it's like that. So I didn't do that. But my last couple of days there, I got in a little over 3 miles. And then I came home. And the first 2 days home, I did a little over 5 miles. And so yesterday I went out and did another 5K or 4 miles or so. So I actually managed to get in I got in just like almost exactly 21 miles this past week, which is the most I've run since my knee injury back in November.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a sharp ramp up.
So between that and travel and coming back to dreary New England and being back on a full-time work schedule again, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I wish I had an excuse to be exhausted, but I don't have an excuse like you. You have an excuse. Ramping up the exercise is definitely a good one for generating a little bit of tiredness.
Well, I kind of have to because the marathon I'm signed up for is just 2 months away.
Oh, do you have any buddies in that?
I have two buddies in that. We're team GCGGGP, which is Go Carolla, Go Greg, Go Peter.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So the three of us.
I thought you were trying to tie this to the unnameable... No. Chatbot.
Nope. That is close, but no. No. Okay. So it's me and my running buddy, Greg, and a mutual friend of mine who she's run a couple of marathons. We are fully expecting that she is going to kick both of our butts. So Greg is getting over a bit of his own knee type hamstring injury, and I've got mine, which has slowed me down. Whereas she's been doing her regular thing, doing like half marathons every weekend and stuff. And we're like, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm putting my dollar on her.
Yeah, Deutschmark. She's German. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Euro, I suppose. So, yeah.
Did you tell her about all the German tourists you saw running around naked in Costa Rica?
Oh, she was one of the ones who referred me to Costa Rica because she's been there. She likes surfing down there and stuff, too.
So, oh, okay.
Yes.
She's fully aware of the naked Germans that love to visit Costa Rica.
For all I know, she might have been one of them. I don't know.
I'm not judging.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was good. That was way better than anything that I had in our show notes. I mean, I did have that in our show notes, but that was amazing.
Okay.
That was amazing. I'm glad you did that, Peter.
I am too. And I really do want to go back. And, you know, I want to... Definitely
buy a bungalow.
It's not out of the question. The question is like, if I did do that though, like I did real quick, really dirty, quick and dirty back of the napkin math.
Right.
And I figured if I was to like stay in a hotel at, you know, a couple $100 a night for a couple of months out of the year, that cost rapidly approaches that of a mortgage payment for a small place down there.
So here's a question. Can you do Airbnbs down there? Could you rent your place out whenever you're not there?
I stayed in an Airbnb for the last
in an Airbnb, right? Yeah. Okay,
so you definitely can do that. And they're very friendly to foreigners. I have to double check these things, but apparently they only tax income on income that is earned in country. So if you're a teleworker or something, that doesn't count. And the property taxes for anything that's like not a luxury property, which they define as $250,000, property tax is like 0.25%.
Oh my God.
So
do they not know what they have down there?
They have a booming tourist industry and apparently it's working just fine for them.
So you would have to pay taxes. If you did an Airbnb thing, you'd probably have to pay taxes both there and in the United States on that money.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah. That's intriguing.
Yeah. But still, you know, despite that, there are plenty of Americans down there. I went out one day for my first run and I'm walking around and I hear voices and I hear these, you know, two guys talking. Like one of them is like, yeah, the guy there, my neighbor, he's renting out his place for $2,200 a month. And I'm like, but am I back in Boston? What the heck? You know? So there are places that, for instance, that only take dollars. They don't take the, you know, Costa Rican colones, for instance. So I thought the yoga studio, for instance, they're like exact change is required when you go into the studio to pay the instructor. I was like, great. So I walk in with a wad of, you know, a handful of Costa Rican currency. And they're like, oh, you can make front change at the front desk. I go to the front desk. She's like, yeah, I only have dollars. I was like, okay, great. And this is why Americans have the reputation that we have.
That is kind of weird. All right, so what is this Authority movie?
So, well, I don't know. You don't pay any attention to Time Warner or comic books. But anyone who has been paying any kind of attention to Time Warner and DC Comics, DC Comics, that's the universe with Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
Right.
As opposed to Marvel Comics, Captain America, Spider-Man, Iron Man, right?
The one we're all getting tired of slightly.
Well, it's been a good 15-year run. So, you know, it's okay to get a little tired of that. Anyway, James Gunn has been apparently, you know, as of a couple months ago, tapped as like the DC Comics czar. And he is the one in charge of supposedly all of the cinematic DC Cinematic Universe stuff. So TVs, movies, etc. He is the one who brought us Guardians of the Galaxy back over on the Marvel Universe side, which a lot of people really, really liked because it was a departure from the standard Marvel formula. He also did the series Peacemaker for HBO, and he also did the second Suicide Squad movie. And if you watch any of these movies, James Gunn has a very distinct style. He really likes taking these obscure B or C level characters and putting them into situations. He tends to work with really scummy characters that you really don't want to like or that you really don't like and makes them somehow likable. So one of the funny things was a couple months ago, apparently Henry Cavill, who played Superman in the last few Superman and Justice League movies, said, it's official, I'm coming back. And he quit The Witcher, this series on Netflix, so that he could be Superman again. And then it was like the next week, they announced that he got the axe and he would not be returning in any more Superman movies.
Oh, ouch.
Yes.
Wait, what was wrong with this guy? What did he do?
Nothing. He didn't do anything. Unlike the guy who plays the Flash, who
has repeated,
you know, like sexual assault charges.
Problem.
And stuff like
that. Yeah, he's not a good human.
Not the same. Right. Anyway, so, and there's so much more. Literally every week there's a, are you effing kidding me moment with like what DC and Time Warner are doing. It's just ridiculous. But one of the things that they said, like shortly after that, was, okay, James Gunn, you are now in charge of the DC Cinematic Universe. Go fix things, right? He's the equivalent of Kevin Feige over on the Marvel Cinematic Universe side. So they said, all right, you know, James Gunn, come save us. You know, do everything you need to do. And like right off the bat, you know, they make these announcements and the rumors are flying. They're saying Gal Gadot is no longer Wonder Woman. They're saying, oh, Jason Momoa, he's not the Aquaman anymore, but he'll come back as another character called Lobo, which if you ask me is a very good idea. Lots of other stuff, like the rumors are flying. And the latest, though, apparently this is an actual announcement, not a rumor, is that they're making a movie based on the superhero team called The Authority. The Authority is a team that probably most people have not heard of because it came out, I can't remember if it was early 2000s or late 90s, and it was created by another small comic book publisher called Wildstorm Comics.
You're basically right on both date guesses because it was 1999.
Okay, that was pretty close, pretty close. So The Authority came out back then, and it was written by Warren Ellis, one of the best comic book writers out there. He's just amazing. It's really graphic, and it was essentially like, what if the Justice League, or the Avengers, if you prefer, just had no more Fs to give? They're like, you know, we've been nice to you guys all along, you know, you little humans, but you insist on waging war on each other and, you know, destroying the environment and doing all these other things. We've had enough. And, you know, we're essentially Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, etc. in this other universe. And we've had enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, why? Well, why should we listen to you? Because we're the authority. Why? Well, because we have the power. And it's really, really good. So it was definitely one of my favorite series. It came out of another series that led up to it called Stormwatch, which was essentially the same thing, a lot of the same characters, same idea, but it was essentially an international peace keeping force. But again, it's like, imagine Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, etc. reporting to the UN, and then later on they're like, we're just gonna call our own shots,
we're freelancing it.
Yeah. So I guess the theory is that since things like The Boys on Amazon Prime and Invincible animated on Amazon Prime, two different, you know, alternate universes, not DC, not Marvel, not the mainstream ones that people are more familiar with, did pretty well, then why can't The Authority? Now you say, so, but Peter, you said this is all DC universe and stuff. Well, in the early 2000s...
But Peter, you said this was all DC universe and stuff.
I did, thank you. In the early 2000s, DC acquired Wildstorm. And so what they do, and this is, you know, they've done, this has happened a number of times over the years. Are you familiar with the Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam?
Yeah.
Billy Batson.
I know the storylines, but yeah, I know the
character. All right,
yeah,
you know, character. Kid gets powers from a wizard, says the word Shazam, essentially turns into a magical Superman, right?
Yeah.
He is part of the DC universe. So Shazam and Superman fight on, you know, alongside each other. They've often fought each other. But Captain Marvel, aka now aka Shazam, was originally from Fawcett Comics. And coincidentally, all of his adventures were based in Fawcett City, where Billy Batson lived. But DC Comics, after several years, sued and then eventually acquired Fawcett Comics. And what they do is, when that happens, is either it's an alternate universe with like a parallel dimension that occasionally Superman and buddies, you know, the time and space barriers will cross and they'll meet, or they just sort of absorb it in. So now Fawcett City is just another city in the mainstream DC universe world, Earth. So they did the same thing with, they did the same thing with The Authority now. And so they've merged this in, which is kind of funny because The Authority has multiple characters who are really just pastiches of Justice League characters. So there's a Superman, a Batman, a Hawk Girl, and they just pull them all over. So the number of different...
It would have been better to make it alternate.
Well, it was alternate to start, but I guess they decided they wanted to move it in. But it's kind of funny. At this point, there are like seven different like Superman equivalents. You know, not talking like Superman and Superboy, but it's like Superman, Apollo, Shazam/Captain Marvel, Icon. You know, there's all these different ones, and most of them are through acquisitions of smaller companies, and they just like suck them all in. Anyway, so apparently in a couple of years or so, we're going to have an Authority movie, and I am psyched. If I had time, which I don't, I would go back and just start rereading the whole thing because it's really cool and, you know, some really good stuff. And,
Peter, yeah. Maybe for this podcast, every episode you can start off by reading 10 minutes of The Authority for us.
Like a dramatic reading type thing like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're okay. Going to have to be very descriptive because you're going to be reading what is in essence a graphic novel or a comic book.
Perfect.
On a podcast which we do not have a visual component.
So I can do that, just it'll be like subtitles, right? You know, I'll say like dramatic crashing effects or, you know, like holds car overhead or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Peter Subtitle.
Perfect. I like it.
That's your new name, Peter Subtitle.
Works great.
Okay. That's cool. All right. I think we're probably about out of time, but I do want to say, speaking of subtitles, as you know, Peter, I'm working on getting transcripts up for the site, and I'm actually working on that right now. But what it means is that eventually we'll have subtitles that people can search for content, and then we can also search for content to see what we've talked about in the past. Maybe to settle arguments like the one we had at the beginning of this podcast about who said what.
Because who has time to go back and listen to an episode, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So anyway, I am working on that. So if people have heard us talking about different strategies for generating transcripts and stuff like that, yes, it is something that I'm doing. So at some point, transcripts will become available. I think it's important to be as accessible as possible. And also, because there's really no good way to search audio right now without being a huge conglomerate like Google, yeah, it'll be good.
Well, there you go.
It won't be as good as your vacation, but it'll be pretty darn good.
That's the next best thing.
The next best thing. Transcripts are the next best thing to Costa Rica.
Next best thing to Costa Rica. And there's your episode title.
Okay. Well, isn't there something about a button? Have you forgotten the button already? Oh, Peter, how can people find you now that you, Peter Nicolaitis, are not in Costa Rica?
Well, I hang out in the Boston, Massachusetts area, but I don't think that's what you meant.
You won't be home anyway because you're going to be over at John Syracuse's house knocking on his door waiting to give him a hug when he opens
or,
up.
Or Somerville guy.
Dan Morin?
Dan Morin, yeah. I just found out he's in my neighboring town too. So, yeah. I mean, I could show up with like a home-cooked meal and stuff and just say, here, you know, like I heard you had a baby, so, you know, here you go. Chill out.
Chill out.
So my Twitter account is not all that active anymore. So the best way, the best way to find me is nicolaitis.com. And that has links to me on LinkedIn. It has links to my yoga site, my consulting site. It is my personal site. It has links to my Mastodon profile. And oddly enough, mm-hmm. I open up my Mastodon page, and the first thing I see there is a post by Dan Morin.
Mm.
And he's catching up
That's telling you something.
He's catching up on Star Trek Prodigy. So he says, finally caught up on Star Trek Prodigy. So I think he has time for me to drop in.
He might. He might.
He may not appreciate it, but he has time.
He may not appreciate it. Yeah. Whether he has the desire or not, he's got the time.
Oh, brother. Well, how can people find you, Scott Wilsey?
ScottWilsey.com. And I'm sure there's a link on there for my Mastodon account somewhere. So click on that. By the way, that's another site that I need to do some work on. It only has a dark mode right now, and that's probably not good for some people. So I'm going to make it have either a toggleable light or dark mode at some point soon. And I'm going to also make the Friends with Brews theme toggleable. Right now, it just decides what it just looks to see if you're in light mode or dark mode and shows you the mode that matches correspondingly. But I'm going to change it so people can choose which one they want to see.
Well, there you go.
Give the people what they want is what I say, but and then yet we still record the things that we say. So I don't.
Yeah, I don't think. I think we give them what we think they need.
We give them what we want them to have.
Yep. Give the people what we want.
That sounds like, oh my God, that sounds like the people, you know, running the country.
Pretty much. This podcast is a dictatorship. So I said that my Twitter account isn't really active anymore. That's not true. It does retweet, if you will, anytime I post a Mastodon by saying, hey, I just posted on Mastodon and giving a link to it.
You're going
to
get banned.
And, well, I'm waiting for that. And, but it also posts a link anytime there is a new post to twitterisgoinggreat.com. Two news articles I heard last week, which were classic. I mean, this guy's such a brilliant manager. Apparently, a senior engineer, Elon was in a meeting, and he asked a senior engineer why, Elon asked why his own personal tweets and page views were down, his own posts. And the engineer had to explain to him that Elon's just not trending anymore. So Elon fired him.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant businessman.
Oh,
brilliant businessman.
God, yeah. Brilliant.
I saw him and what's his name there? Rupert Murdoch at the Super Bowl together last night. I was like, yeah.
Boy, did they deserve each other. Unfortunately, apparently they've decided the planet deserves them too, which is not good news for any of us.
That's the problem. So, anyway, enough of that.
Time to hit the
big red button.